Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
That's the best you guys can do, and you call yourself professionals? Your show really is starting to suck.
Howard Simon.
I am the cream, yeah. The cream of the crop. And there is no one that does it better than
Jeremy White.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
Care to expand on that?
I just woke up feeling real dangerous.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Woke up this morning feeling really tired. 803-0550 on this... forget it. I was going to say Football Friday, but that doesn't start for a couple of weeks. We are taking your calls on the Bills and the game tonight and talking about whether or not Josh Allen should play. It is also our web poll. You can vote at WGR550.com. And we'll get to Matt in Buffalo, who's holding on through the break. Thanks, Matt. You're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Hey, Howard. Long time no here. I was laid up with cancer for a year, but I'm back. I'll be calling in at least three times a week.
Terrific. We're glad you're doing okay. Congratulations.
Good. Oh, hey, thanks. A question and a comment. First, my comment, I need to see some of the Bills starters. I'm not convinced that, I think we need the real pre-game, pre-season activity. You can't practice like the real game. I saw last night Brady played. He threw 8 for 12 for 75 yards. So if New England's playing him, there's no reason Josh shouldn't play. And then also my question is, Vegas is saying over and under 6 games. The third year going in, if we don't hit the playoffs, if we don't win more than 7 or 8 games, as a fan, as a commentator, are you guys satisfied? Are you going to give them one more year, or do we pull the plug? Because it seems like both the Sabres and the Bills are total failure with Pegula as the ownership. Are you willing to wait another year, or are you looking for change if we don't win at least 8 or 9 games? I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
Well, you went from 7 to 9 quickly, by the way. No, the Bills are not a total failure. The hockey team is a disaster. The Bills are not. You can't compare the two right now. So, no, I wouldn't. If they get to 7 or 8 or 9 wins, they are not changing the coach and the GM this year. No.
I wonder what happened. I mean, you want to – don't want to spend too much time on the hockey team. If the hockey team disappoints, will they change their GM? I don't know. I mean, I'll definitely make the case that they probably should. But the football team – you know, I've been saying it all offseason. I think he is as safe as anybody.
Yeah.
And on the Patriots playing Brady, it's one of the things that Belichick has always done that's not smart.
They shouldn't play him.
They didn't
in the first two games.
They play him late in blowouts.
Yeah.
And maybe that's the kind of thing that Brady insists. Why would he insist? I don't know. But
is anybody going to think less of him as a teammate if he comes out when you're up 30 in the fourth quarter or 25, whatever?
You know, New England wins all the time. That doesn't mean that everything that they do is the right thing to do. And just because they do something that's not smart doesn't mean you should also do that. Yeah. So it's not, I mean, I get it. Brady does play in the preseason, but man, we kind of joked earlier, how come it couldn't be him that comes out of that game in the walking boot?
If I were a Patriot fan, every summer I would be yelling and screaming and wondering why Brady's playing.
What are you doing?
Every summer. There's no need for him to play. You know, maybe he wants to go and get out there in game action and kind of shake off rust. I don't think he has to play. Look, Breeze hasn't played in the first two games for the Saints. Don't know if he's playing in the third. The Chargers haven't been playing Phillip Rivers. There's no need for Tom Brady to be on the football field. This is the discussion with Josh Allen, is honestly, because he's in his second year as a quarterback. If Josh becomes good, like if Josh has a big breakout year, I don't need him to play next summer. I don't have Tom Brady here. If I had Tom Brady, he wouldn't touch the football field. It's funny how we sit here and talk about, you know, you got a running back, a 30-year-old running back. Don't let him touch the field. But a 42-year-old, how old is he, 42 or 41? Whatever. A 40-plus-year-old quarterback needs to play? Nope. And he didn't play him in game one, and he didn't play him in game two for some reason. He put him in for 3 series, I think, last night. I would never let him on the field if I were a Patriots head coach.
When it comes to the preseason, let me ask you this way. Did the Bills waste last year and the entire preseason last year.
Yeah, it was probably silly in hindsight. The whole thing, a quarterback competition,
ended up being a waste.
Because all you did was just didn't give the guy who deserved the job, really didn't have all the time he needed to take that job.
Which is Allen.
Yeah.
You think they should have just, like, why have a competition?
Right.
If the preseason really is an opportunity for players to learn and grow, they severely limited Allen because Peterman won the job and then lost it by halftime of week one.
See, that's
McCarron
the thing.
Played game two and a lot of game four and got traded.
Right.
The guy that might have got the least action was Josh Allen, you know? And if there's all these opportunities to grow and grow and grow, well, why wasn't he playing the whole time? So I'm not going back in time and being upset about it. Just kind of making the point as of today, we look back 1 year and are willing to say, well, last year's preseason was kind of a waste. And then with Allen, you know, if game reps are really important,
yeah.
He only came out because he got hurt and then went back in and came out of it saying game reps are really important. So it's almost like, you know, if you put a team up against its own practices, no one can seem to decide what it's worth.
Yeah.
Last year, preseason action, not worth it for Josh Allen as much as it is now this year worth it for him, which seems to me counterintuitive.
I thought, well, in hindsight last year, here's the part that didn't mesh. If you look back, excuse me, if you look back on last year, the part that didn't mesh was you wanted to have the competition. Josh Allen, if he's the best guy, has to earn it. So we have to have a competition. Or you just didn't want to hand the job to Josh because you didn't think he was ready. We got to ease him into this.
Only way to get him ready would be the game to give
him,
right?
Well, the way to get him ready would have not had him take snaps with the threes in the summer and the spring. You know, so the idea of the competition, or he's just not ready, let's not rush him into it, either one, went out the window by halftime of week one and the start in week two. So it really didn't mesh together. If you wanted to ease Josh into it and wait till he was ready, you blew that up in week two and you put him out there. And so in hindsight, if you're the Bills, if you thought, you know, McCarron, Peterman, either guy, we knew either guy is a stopgap. How soon can Josh take the job? Well, in hindsight, it would have made more sense if I knew he was going to start in week two. Guess what? Screw quarterback competition. Give him the reps. And if he's not good, then you could take him out and say, we're going to have you sit on the bench. We're going to have you watch the game. In the meantime, we'll throw McCarron in there, Peterman in there. Yeah, it just didn't all mesh together. It didn't really make any sense because I didn't anticipate he'd play that early. If you're telling me there's a competition and the other guys are going to be, I would think, okay, yeah, Josh is going to sit. He's going to learn. He's going to watch. And, you know, late October, early November, whatever, when the season's out, you're out of the race. Hey, Josh goes in and plays the last half of the year. Wonderful. It all didn't mesh together. But there was another point I was going to make on what you just said about Josh. That's why we talk about this year and being critical for Josh, right? There was no competition. He got all the reps with the ones. He's taken all the reps with the ones in the OTAs, the mini camp, the training camp practices. He's with the ones in the preseason games. He is getting all that time to get better. And I did put value into him being able to play in the first two games and translate what he's trying to learn on the practice field into game situations and work with Beasley and all these other guys. Today I'm freaking out over injuries and quarterbacks that were just being held up by coaches. I just looked up to this discussion about the preseason. I looked up a few minutes ago when you're making your points. We have SportsCenter on here, right? And they're having their discussion on their show, and Schefter's on there with them. And the graphic at the bottom of the screen said, Schefter, this is the year the preseason becomes obsolete. I'm telling you, this year has been like no other in terms of
starters
lack of
playing.
Usage. Right. I just think this is really changing things for the NFL. This is the year the preseason becomes obsolete, according to Adam Schefter.
One thing from this Bills preseason, not about injuries, not about who's playing, but you know, when I talk about the preseason pledge, it's that you take nothing from it. Here's something we can go back and we can look at if we want to. My prediction is we don't. But there was a tweet from the Cardinals, some stats guys that follow the Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
And all it is a graph of tendencies to pass or run. What have the Bills done this preseason?
No, pass. Josh has thrown more passes than anybody else in the preseason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On this, not in the league.
He's got the most passes of any quarter. He's got 22 throws. No other quarterback through 2 weeks had more than a dozen. So no one's passing it as much as Josh.
So, okay. So, tendency to pass versus run. I don't have it on player. I have it on team.
Okay.
The Chiefs have apparently the highest tendency to pass in the preseason.
Okay.
Then the Browns. Dallas has been passing a lot. Cincinnati, Tampa, and Buffalo.
Yeah, this the stat was individual quarterbacks with the 22
but as
12,
a team, the Bills are top six in tendency to pass in the preseason.
Right. Yeah, even Barkley's been throwing the ball a decent amount when he gets in, right?
Do you think they'll be top six in tendency to pass in the regular season?
God, no.
So, and this is something Brian Daboll's talked about and Josh has talked about. They're trying to get as many reps as possible for him. Now, there are ways to protect him. Let's say you are the offensive coordinator of the Bills, and you do think, listen, I think it's good for my guy to get out there and throw the ball and work on whether it's reads or terminology. What do you do as the coordinator? You put him in shotgun and you call quick throws. You make it. You can call a game where you can do everything you can to ensure he's not even going to get hit, because we're not calling deep drops. We're not calling deep throws. We're not going to call play action where someone on the blind side could miss a block.
Right.
You know, the Eagles had, what was it, Cody Kessler? He got knocked out because a guy just, whatever, miscommunication in the line. A guy, a free defensive end came and just smashed him in the chest or the back or whatever, and it became, well, that was just that guy. It wasn't that your guy lost a matchup. It was miscommunication, concussion.
Well, look.
So
at,
if you're Brian Daboll, what you do is if you really want to protect and you're going to get him out there for a quarter or two or three, it's all quick passes or handoffs.
Yeah.
You know, you try to protect him as best you can in that scenario.
I don't know I don't have the preseason stats in front of me, but I'm going to guess the pass to run ratio in Josh Allen's time in the game, what, 3-1? He's thrown 22 passes. How many times have they run the ball in the four series he's been out there? It can't be that many times. So 2-2, 3-1 pass run ratio. That's not going to happen in the regular season. I know that. And even with the whole, we're going to get to calls here in a second. Steve, hang on 1 second. Even with the formations, you know, you might look at it. Look, they've done a lot of empty sets. Now you might look at it and go, well, what are you doing? You got nobody back there to chip to help out. Blah. He's got five targets going out. Get the ball out fast. Someone's going to be open. So a lot of empty set formations have led to rhythm passing, get the ball out, take a short gain, put it in the right spot, let the guy run after catch, and the ball comes out so fast, nobody gets a whiff of Josh Allen. 803-0550 to join us. 888-552-550. Steven Watertown is next up here on WGR. Go right ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I don't hear enough, and I listen to you quite a bit. I don't think people give McBean enough credit on their talent evaluation, their scouting department, their coaches. I think we've got the most competitive roster that we've seen in a long time at multiple positions. Now, it doesn't mean anything until we get wins and losses, but they set a plan. They told us what the plan is. They did it. They filled this roster up. Now we don't want to see some guys go. That guy, Mike Love's good, and Ray Ray's good. And we're going to lose some quality, talented people, which should equate, as long as the quarterback plays above average, which should equate to wins. So to even fathom that these guys are on the hook at 7-9, 6-10, no, we're a much better football team. We're just starving for a winner, but we're a much better football team than we've been in a long, long time.
Appreciate the call. But look, yeah, I think the depth is better, but still, you know, if there are injuries at certain spots, I'm not even talking quarterback. I like the linebacker depth, but let's face it, if Edmonds or Milano get hurt, there's a drop-off to the next guy on the depth chart. You know, I can tell you they feel good about Corey Thompson and what, Maurice Alexander. I know I'm forgetting somebody else, but there's a drop-off there. You know, if Jerry Hughes gets hurt, hey, I like some things I've seen from Daryl Johnson and Mike Love at defensive end, but Jerry Hughes is your best pass rusher by far. So there'd be a drop-off. I mean, the depth is better, but we'd still be talking about a team in many positions that the option after a starter is not good.
And I think they get plenty of credit for what they've done to this point. They have executed a plan that they laid out, right? They said they were going to clear up the cap and get some of their guys and build their team their way, and they've done that.
And they're good for sure. I think on one side of the ball,
defense
it looks really good.
Yeah,
and all across.
And other than that, you know, you could say the Bills are the best they've been in a long time, and that's all well and good. Once the Bills become the best Bills team they've been in a long time, then we shift the standard to being an actual good team. It's just like the quarterback spot. You know, like this team hasn't won more than 9 games this millennium.
Yeah, since before 2000, yeah.
So How many teams have won 9 games in the last, have won 10, have a 10-win season in the last 20 years? Most of them?
I would bet that there's less than 5, right?
Cleveland, I'll do that in the
Cleveland,
break.
Detroit, Bills. I mean,
so if they, let's even say they win 10 games. That's great. They do deserve credit.
Yeah.
But that is not supposed to be the rarest of occurrences. So, yeah. You know, it's one of the things I keep saying. I'm excited about this year because we might start to shift into NFL standards instead of just Bill standards.
There was a quote, I don't remember whose article it was, but I read a comment from Brandon Bean. And it was about what's happened here and what they've done over the last few years and cleaning out the cap and the roster decisions and everything, and how, you know, you made the playoffs 2 years ago and then you started moving guys all over the place. You know, what, why? And he said something to the effect of, you know, we didn't come here to build a team to make the playoffs once. It's not about making the playoff once and ending the drought. It's about being a contender year after. It's about long-term success, being a contender year after year. So for those of you who thought, hey, Tyrod's here, you break the streak and you get rid of Tyrod Taylor, what are you doing? They're trying to put together a team that is a contender for 10 years, for 15 years. Of course, it starts with the quarterback. So, yeah, I think they should get credit. I think it is a more talented roster. I think the depth is better. You know, I think the defense looks really good. The line, the linebackers, the secondary. I don't think there's a weak spot in the defense. The questions are all on the offensive side of the ball. It remains to see how it all pans out. But there are some promising young guys on that side of the ball, too. Yes, it's a better roster. But at the end of the day, though, it all comes down to this. You're going to win some games. Are you going to be a legitimate contender in the National Football League? Ultimately, that's what Bean and McDermott are going to be based on. I would have to, you know, I'd be more towards Jeremy in terms of, I think these guys are pretty safe. To the caller who started the segment with, you know, the Bills and the Sabres are disasters. They're not. The Pegulas have to feel much better. I think they're much happier with the direction of their football team. Whereas the hockey team, who knows? I mean, it is a disaster area right now. That's not the case with the football team.
All right, here's your stat for you. 10 wins. How many teams have won 10 games in the last 2 years?
Oh, in the last 2 years?
Never mind the last 20 years.
Yeah.
In the last 2 years, how many teams have won 10 games or more?
12?
17.
Okay, I didn't think it would be half.
More than half the league.
Yeah, it's a high number for just
2 years.
Has
a 10-win season in the last 2 years.
If you go back 20 years, it can't be more than 4 or 5 teams that never had a 10-win season.
We're about
to
find out.
You're going to do all that?
I'm going to find out. That's your instant trivia.
All right.
I'll go back to a year.
I've got to believe the Browns are in there and the Bills are in there.
So it's not to kick 10 wins out of bed, figuratively. It's to say, once you get there, all right, a lot of teams get there. It's not supposed to be crazy.
Stafford win 10 games yet? I bet you. Did he?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay, so take Detroit out. The Raiders would have done, you know what? Two teams? Is it possible it's just the Bills and the Browns? Would have won 10, I think, at some point. We're going back to Pennington.
Are we about to create another drought? Longest?
I feel like it's a very...
Without winning 10 games?
Yeah. I mean, most teams would have had a successful year in that, because we're going back to 2000. All right, you do that. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. Let me get this in real quick, because I know we got John Shannon coming up in the next segment. Let me get to John in Atlanta. John, go ahead with your question or comment here.
Good morning, guys. First off, I'm really jacked about tonight because down here in Atlanta, the Bills are actually going to be on CBS.
Oh, it's on network TV, right.
You need to see them.
Yeah.
So pretty fired up about that. I think it will be interesting to chart the early season performances of starting quarterbacks who play in the preseason versus those who don't. Specifically comparable to seasons when, if they don't play the preseason this year, if they did in the past, if it translates into any difference. Because personally, I think real live regular season game action is much faster than obviously practice speed or even joint practice speed or even preseason speed. So I think it'll be interesting over the first few weeks of the season to kind of chart the progress. And I was just hoping to get your guys' thoughts if you thought it might have any bearing on that at all. And I'll hang up and listen, and I really appreciate your show, guys.
Thanks, Sean.
I read someone did a piece about Goff last year because Goff didn't play in the entire preseason for the Rams. Actually, a number of starters, offensive starters, didn't play in the entire preseason last year. And they had maybe a rocky first game. I want to say maybe they opened up against the Raiders. then they were fine. And double-digit wins, and the offense was fine, and they end up going to the Super Bowl. So for that one instance of a young quarterback who did not play, it did not have any negative bearing on the regular season.
Yeah, I mean, my answer to this was going to be no one will do it because no one cares. No one puts the – it's part of what about the preseason. It's fun every year. It's like we get caught in the moment that is the preseason, and then it just goes away and it never exists until
we forget about it
until
the
next year.
Next summer, then we yell about
like
it.
Like I mentioned maybe half hour ago or, I don't know, this segment, that 1 year ago tomorrow, the Browns beat the Eagles 5-0 in the dress rehearsal game. And Tyrod Taylor was their starting quarterback
right.
at that time.
Yeah, because Mayfield didn't
And how long did he last?
Second game?
And Baker goes in.
Yeah.
You know? So I understand wanting to know, like, I wonder what the numbers would say. The reality is nobody checks, nobody cares.
Yeah, I just happened to see the thing about Goff today, actually, when I was researching quarterbacks not playing in preseason games. The Browns won 10 games in 2007,
okay.
from what Derek says. So is it possible the Bills are the only team?
By the way, that was the
eight, I mean, I'm already
that was the 8-0 game, by
I'm
the
way. I'm at 24 teams, and I'm back to 2014 right now. And you just added the Browns, so that's 25.
The Bills are going to be the only team
not to have won 10 games
wow.
in
I
the millennium.
I shouldn't be surprised because of the draft.
Yeah, who else is missing? The whole NFC East or AFC East has.
Raiders would have.
Lions have.
Traditionally, Cardinals would have made the Super Bowl.
Cardinals have.
Right. There's nobody else. The Jets would have.
The Jets
right?
did.
The Dolphins.
Did. Had
Washington?
11-5.
10? Has been generally miserable
okay.
lately.
Yeah, that's a good nominee.
They definitely did.
The Bengals
yeah.
would have. Yeah,
Bengals.
I don't,
Bengals did.
Yep. That's what I'm.
Washington.
AFC South.
Washington 10-6 in 2012. Robert Griffin.
All right.
I think the
and 2005.
The Bills are the only team.
So right. twice.
AFC South. Everybody would have won.
Everybody did.
Tennessee, Jacksonville, Colts for
have
sure.
The Titans. They went to a
Titans
Super Bowl.
Would have made it at some point in those 20 years. Yes. Right,
they would. Well, they had Steve McNair, so yes, they would have. Right.
Well,
I'll pull up the Titans.
Their Super Bowl would have been.
No, that's too far back.
Post, yeah, it would have been post 2000.
The Titans
right?
won 13 games in 2008, and 10 games in 2007, and 12 games in 2003, and 11 games in 2002. They've done it four times.
Okay, so that takes them out.
Who else? You know, like, is there anybody else we can even consider?
We covered the Lions, right?
We covered the Lions. They did.
Yeah, NFC West, not Niners. No, they went to the Super Bowl. They played Baltimore
yep.
in the Super
Kaepernick
Bowl.
Kaepernick Niners.
Yeah. I think
so
it's kind of out.
It's just to say, if they get to 10 and they're the most talented Bills team in 20 years,
yeah.
great.
Welcome to the league.
We're back.
Yeah.
And which is, that's a step. I'm going to take that step.
Right.
And then immediately, you shift your sights onto the one after that, which is having six 10-win seasons over a 10-year span. And hopefully, playoff wins and home games and division titles and all that.
803-0550 to join us, 888-552-550. We talk Bills football with you all morning, getting ready for the game tonight, WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Going to get to John Shannon of Sportsnet. Want to play a quick, fun headline game, Howard?
Sure.
So Brendan Gallagher, the Montreal Canadiens, nice player.
Yeah.
He's part of the NHL 20, the video game ratings reveal. And I saw this because former Sabre Nate Beaulieu kind of chirped at him a little bit. Brendan Gallagher is rated as an 84 overall, to which Nate Beaulieu said, seems a bit high for you, former teammates. If Brendan Gallagher is an 84, Jack Eichel is a blank. Bust.
Ah, yes.
If Brendan Gallagher is an 84, Jack Eichel is a?
94.
94,
I'm
going to
say 92.
Yeah, I think 91, 92 is probably... neighborhood.
I was going for 100. I figured I might be going a little too far.
We'll see about those ratings and if and when they come out. Bills in Detroit tonight, 8 o'clock start for that. Cam Newton left the Panthers game with a sprained ankle. Washington tight end Jordan Reed, possible concussion. Same with DJ Chark of Jacksonville. New York Giants quarterback Daniel Jones, sharp in another performance. There's a great picture, by the way. He and Eli, their lockers are next to one another.
Mm-hmm.
Where did they play last night?
Look
like a visiting locker room. Are they on the road?
Who did they play last night? I've seen the highlights.
It's very important
too.
Preseason.
I've been watching highlights all
whoever
morning.
It is, their
I couldn't
defense
even tell you who they play.
Anyway, there's a great picture of Eli Manning seated on a stool, putting his shoes on, and next to him is a huge gathering of reporters focused on Daniel Jones.
Eli, you want to get out of the way? We're trying to get around this huddle here.
Could you slide over a little bit?
Need room to get our cameras in to talk to Daniel, if you don't mind.
I mean, if that isn't a picture of the world of sports, right?
Wow, the poor guy.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
Like, hey, man, you're old news.
Yeah.
I'm talking to the kid.
Take two Super Bowls and get the heck out of the way.
Yeah. What else? Mets beat Cleveland for a sweep. Jays lose to the Dodgers. Yankees lose to Oakland. And the Bisons are home for a 7:05 first pitch tonight. Those are your sports headlines.
Craig Rivet throwing out the first pitch. You should go just to see like that and make sure he doesn't hurt himself. 803-0550 to join us. 888-552-550. We're talking Bills football with you. But we want to throw in a little hockey. Yeah, we're 2 weeks away from camp starting, and guess what? It's a whole bunch of really talented players have yet to sign. We're going to the Wester Hotline, our good friend up in Canada from Sportsnet, John Shannon, joining us. John, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. Happy 2 weeks away from training camp to you, sir.
I don't know. It's been such a good summer. I don't know what we should be talking about, hockey boys.
Yeah, you're still celebrating the Raptors up there? Because it hasn't been a good baseball summer.
The baseball team, I think it's better that they're out of town than anything else.
John, what's up with all the Group 2 guys? Why aren't these guys signed yet?
Well, you know, and I mean, there's enough of the. Oh, I think it's a little bit of a game of chicken, and what's happening is that they're waiting for the first big star to sign, and that sets the tone. And just like you're saying, 2 weeks to those rookie camps, really, I think that there are agents and players looking to the first week in October more so than training camp to worry about whether they're going to play or not. So I still think that there's 6 weeks for a lot of decisions to be made about these players like Marner and Rantanen and
So did the Aho contract not have any bearing at all in terms of trying to open up the Group 2 market?
Only to give Don Waddell and Carolina an easy summer.
Yeah.
That's the only thing it meant. You know, he probably got a little bit of a good deal from Montreal in order to get that done for Carolina. At the same time, Carolina knew they couldn't exist without him. So that became the option. The Marner deal is the key deal. The Marner deal sets the tone because I think there's logic that suggests it's going to be the biggest deal, and then everything will be pegged against it.
So what is the latest on the Marner deal, right? Is it term? Is it money? Is it a combo? Since that might be the one that opens everything else up, what is holding that up?
Well, you know, both sides have now started to be very quiet about it, although, you know, there are a few rumors out there that Darren Ferris, Marner's agent, has gone and talked to the people in Switzerland to see if there's an option for him to play in the Swiss League next for a year. But that's a normal part of the summer negotiation to see if there's options. So this is at the end of your first contract, you don't have as much leverage. And the opportunity for Marner now is to try to figure out whether he wants to try to make Maple Leafs a long-term deal for him, like 8 years. I'm not sure the Maple Leafs can do that. And at the same time, you know, do they want to get to that $10 million mark, which, you know, they look at Tavares is at 11, look at Matthews that is more than 11, and can Marner get that kind of money? And that's going to be the big issue.
Let me hop in. Why don't we quickly get a hold of John there? Yeah, let's try and reset real quick, or we'll dial him up again because a couple of things I want to bring up, and obviously we're having a little bit of a connection issue with the cell. For what it's worth, I did see a story this morning. There's a report out of Vancouver. One of the many Group 2 guys that's still unsigned is Brock Besser. And I know John was talking about Marner, but there was a report this morning that that Besser, there's a, I apologize, I don't remember if it was the team offer or the agent offer, but there's a four-year, $28 million proposal on the table for Besser, which doesn't, you know, $7 million a year for a good, young, talented hockey player doesn't seem like an issue. Maybe it's term with Vancouver because of it's only being 4 years, but perhaps there'll be some movement on one of the other guys, Laine, Connor, Besser. There's really nothing coming out of Tampa on point. There's a couple defensemen, like McAvoy is one of the group two guys. So maybe Besser, maybe something will start moving on that front. We're going to bring back John here on this line here. Okay, sorry about that, John. We're having some issues with the cell. So we want to, on the group twos, okay, is there anything because of this summer? Like Jason Bottrell's on the other day with us, right, on the Instigators. He said, guys, the league is frozen. Everybody's waiting because of the group twos that aren't signed, and it's just frozen the whole league. Can the league do anything about it, John? Can you change anything? Can you do something about the system, the group two, the age, the compensations, so you don't get to this point and it doesn't just kind of hamstring everybody?
You know, Howard, that's a really interesting question. Is when you looked at the NHL and the Players Association are quietly talking about a new CBA and trying to get through a few issues, is this something that the players and the owners can come to some way to make it advantageous for both sides? Here's the issue, though, and I don't know if you've heard me before, but this is really the only time in a player's contract where the leverage is on the owner's side,
yeah,
where the teams have the upper hand because they can, the restricted free agency and the offer sheets don't happen very often. And the compensations sometimes, if you're going to spend that kind of money, sometimes will cripple your draft picks for the next few years. I'm sure that there are thoughts on both the union side and the league side to try to fix this, but there are a lot of teams that will say, hold on, we need as much leverage as we can in a player's career, and this is the one time we have it. And the only option that players have out of their entry-level deals is to hold out.
Right.
And, you know, that's what we saw with William Nylander in Toronto last year.
Yeah.
The jury's still out whether that worked for either side. By Christmas time this year, we may think that there's been an upper hand. It's funny, though. You know, you look at, 2 years ago, the Edmonton Oilers signed Leon Draisaitl to a contract at $8.5 million, and everybody thought they overpaid. And now it looks like a bargain. And that's relatively early in that contract. When you consider he's a 50-goal scorer, and he's going to be an Oiler for the foreseeable future, and so both sides got good money, got quality time, and they got some stability in a contract. And when it got signed, people were rolling their eyes saying the Oilers overspent.
Well, all right, John. I guess we'll let it all play out, and hopefully this thing will resolve itself in the next month, and we'll be able to talk about everything going on and Ristolainen being traded.
Nothing ever happens in hockey in August, anyways.
Well, we got football to get us through. Thank you, as always. Always nice to talk to you. We look forward to chatting with you again during the season when the games are being played.
Have a great weekend.
Thanks, John. John Shannon, Western Hotline, joining us from Sportsnet in Canada.
I was just going through some roster projections. I think I saw this from Sean Tierney at Charting Hockey. Want me to kind of scare you real quick?
Yeah.
All right. It's on the Sabres. So their roster projection puts the Sabres at projected 76 points. That's not the scary part. Here comes the scary part.
Hang on. That's not
that's
the scary,
not the scary
part?
That's not the scary part.
Oh, God.
That's not the scary part. At least not to me. Yeah. The scary part is, they've got the lines listed. Skinner, Eichel, Reinhardt is the top line. That's not surprising. Middle set. You know, you've got your forwards.
Yeah.
Your fourth line is Larson, Girgensons, and Olofsson.
Imagine, is he doing on the fourth line?
Imagine Olofsson skating with Larson and Girgensons.
Lord, help me. Why?
Hang on. Somehow this could be worse.
When you started, the O came out of your mouth, I figured Oposo was coming.
Olofsson.
Take this pen and show it.
No, there's the scary part. If Olofsson's off the roster projections, like, that's terrifying.
What's he doing on the fourth line?
Hey, man, you want to ask these questions? I don't got the answers. But yeah, seventy-six is still more scary to me than that, actually.
Pair him with Larson, the playmaker. That'll help Olofsson's offensive numbers. Are you kidding me? I'm expecting Olofsson to be on a top two line this season. All right, 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. Bills in Detroit coming up tonight. How much should Josh Allen play? That's one of the things we're talking about. And you can share your opinion on that or whatever else is on your mind this morning. Join us here at WGR. Hey, the Bills are playing the Lions tonight. Up for grabs. Are the Bills going to face a starting quarterback at all this preseason? Tony Ortiz joining us for a quick update here on the Lions. 97-1 the ticket in Detroit. Tony, it is Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. Is Stafford playing tonight?
You know, that's the $64,000 question at this point. And good morning, guys. The expectation is he will play at least a quarter tonight. The last couple of weeks, he hasn't played in the preseason simply because the Lions have had joint practices with the New England Patriots, with the Houston Texans, and according to head coach Matt Patricia and other members of the coaching staff, they've been able to get the work in that they wanted with Stafford during those joint practices, so there was no reason for him to be in those preseason games and possibly get knocked around, especially when you consider how porous the Lions' offensive line has been the first couple of preseason games.
So it's not injury-related or health-related in any way with him?
Not at this point, no. There is some concern about his age, the fact that he's now 31, and there's also he had a difficult offseason with his wife having a brain tumor. She had an operation on, and it kind of slowed him down a little bit as far as learning the new offense. So I think this is just a precautionary measure at this point with Stafford holding him out the first two preseason games.
Some teams have not used this as the old dress rehearsal play guys to halftime or in the second half. Not sure the Bills will play their starters that long tonight beyond a couple series. What's the Lions' plan beyond Stafford?
Well, the starters are going to play about a quarter to a quarter and a half at most. Matt Patricia is not going to run these guys into the ground this evening in a preseason game. However, you're going to see a lot of guys who are going to be number twos and number threes on the Lions roster because there's a lot of battles going on, especially in the secondary, at wide receiver, most notably at running back, where the Lions have some issues, they have some concerns, and Matt Patricia wants to get a good long look at these guys to see which ones he's going to keep on the 53-man roster at the start of the season and which guys he'll likely be cut or could end up on the practice squad.
Hey, Tony, when you look at the Lions and their chances this season, it's a really tough division. What are the feelings in Detroit, the expectations in Detroit, and maybe part two of that would be, is Matt Patricia on a hot seat this season?
I'll answer the second question first. A little bit of a hot seat, which is a little surprising, but when you think about it, he came in after Jim Caldwell, who had won 9 games, got the Lions to the playoffs twice during his tenure, and the first season Matt Patricia goes 6-10, plus there was a lot of stuff both on and off the field or surrounding the head coach. Things have been a lot quieter and a lot calmer, but still, he is on a little bit of the hot seat, and if they go 3-13, 4-12 this season, there is no guarantee he'll be back for year number 3 in Detroit. As far as expectations go around here, Lions fans always believe the worst. So there's a lot of Lions fans who are sitting here going, they're going to win 5 or 6 games, especially when they looked at the first two preseason games. But this is a team that could easily win 8 games with the way their defense plays right now. And if their offense gets it in gear this year, they could be a factor in the division. Do I think they'll make the playoffs or win the division? No. But I don't see them collapsing the 3 or 4 wins this season either.
Any rookies or young guys that have been looking good so far in the preseason maybe we would notice tonight watching Detroit play the Bills?
Number one on the list, TJ Hockenson, the guy who has been the rookie tight end, first-round pick this year. He has been outstanding, and he is a target of Matthew Stafford's, at least during training camp, in the red zone. I would keep an eye on him. Tracy Walker, the young safety, trying to earn a spot as a starter replacing Glover Quinn, is another guy to keep an eye on. And if you want a third young guy to keep an eye on, Kerryon Johnson, the running back, whose season was shortened to just 10 games last year because of injuries. He is a guy that he will get a lot of work for the Lions in the regular season. They might turn him loose at least for a quarter tonight just to see how well he's come back from his injury.
Last thing for you. I forgot about Hockenson. I really liked him as a guy I was hoping the Bills were going to take. And I'm thinking, you know, I was thinking about Eric Ebron. It never really materialized for him until he went to Indianapolis. Maybe Hockenson has the Ebron-like season, but with Detroit and Stafford this year.
Now, see, you just said a bad word here in Detroit, which is Ebron. That is tantamount to basically saying a cuss word around here because Eric Ebron was no problem. Eric Ebron was not a well-liked guy here, and then he goes to Indianapolis and plays well with Andrew Luck, and he's really not liked. The difference between Ebron and TJ Hockenson, in my opinion, maturity. Hockenson comes in, he is a much more mature individual, much more mature player than Eric Ebron was. I think he'll have a very good rookie season, but Lions fans are going to watch the guys drafted just after Hockenson. If any one of those guys pops and becomes a Pro Bowler, fans are not going to be happy.
All right, Tony, thanks. I know you got to get back to work. Appreciate you giving us a few minutes this morning.
Guys, always a pleasure. Thank you.
That is Tony Ortiz on the air these days, right now, actually. We took him away for a few minutes from 97.1 The Ticket in Detroit. We thank him for his time. Hockenson, I forgot. I get to watch Hawk tonight. 803-0550 to join us. Bills, Detroit, should Josh Allen play at all tonight? Maybe Stafford won't play tonight for the Lions. Ooh, I got to look up their backup quarterback.
Go ahead. I want to bring you back to draft day when we get back. And mention the player we're just talking about right there, TJ Hockenson.
Hockenson?
Yeah, because there's a bit of good news on the Bills that just a hypothetical I want to run by you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.